Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Hope you got a chance to listen to or watch that Wolves game last night. They ended up beating the Knicks 112-110. And boy, at points of the game, Maxie, at the end there, in the last 2 minutes, you're like, oh, they're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. And then they pull it off.
They pulled it off. Yeah, good sign for them. And, you know, some of these leaders are starting to, the guys that need to play well are playing well. Karl-Anthony Towns made a big play for him. D'Angelo Russell hit a couple of big baskets throughout the second half. Anthony Edwards wasn't as big a factor in the fourth quarter, didn't need to be. But that's where you go with this thing. And I would say that, you know, again, here we go. Silver lining again, just like those sun dogs out there. It's still sun, right? The Wild and the Timberwolves have both, certainly the Wild and to an extent the Timberwolves exceeded expectations this winter. So, you know, to me, I guess I've been doing this so long that I don't worry about teams winning world championships. I just say stay in contention, you know, get to the playoffs, keep it interesting till the end. And that's all that that I ever ask of these teams that because it makes the job so much more fun. So it's selfish on my part. But both those teams are going to do that, it looks like, this year. And that's how you capture a generation of fans and you keep people coming and you create energy and a buzz and it just kind of feeds itself.
Ooh,
yes.
Here we go. It's Wolves Wednesday. We're giving away lower level tickets for the January 30th game against the Utah Jazz. Be the eighth caller. And you get to win these tickets. Yeah, it's really good. Tonight they're playing in Atlanta. That's kind of tough. So New York and then Atlanta, that seems like that's a back-to-back here.
That's a tough swing, for back-to-back nights. And in Atlanta, it's, you know, they've had some ups and downs this year, but they're a good team. They're a fun team. They have kind of emerged as one of those teams that you enjoy watching. And they can score a lot of points in a short amount of time. And all of a sudden, you know, it's a 10-2 run in 2 minutes. They're that kind of team. So they're fun to watch, and it'd be a good challenge for the Wolves, but like I said, now the Wolves aren't backing down, so it makes a difference.
So how is this internal committee with the Vikes progressing as they continue to interview these candidates? Who are you hearing? Are you hearing any buzz about some of these candidates?
I am. You know, Raheem Morris, they entered into the fray. He's defensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams. If they win and he shuts down Tom Brady on Sunday, he might have his pick of jobs. That's the way, that's how it flows in the NFL. I don't think Dan Quinn's on their list, but the people that I talk to say, Denver, where George Payton, who came from the Vikings, is now the general manager looking for a coach, that they think he'll go all in on Dan Quinn to try to get him because it's the kind of guy that he likes, kind of a throwback guy for the same reason that he liked Zimmer when Zimmer was here with the Vikings and George was here. Eric Bieniemy hasn't gotten any play yet, and he was a one-time assistant here who's now the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think there's something holding him back. You know, somebody on that committee maybe didn't see him as a head coaching material when he was here with the Vikings or something like that, because they talked to Todd Bowles yesterday from Kansas City. He's an up-and-coming general manager candidate for this job. And Vanita, I've talked about it a little bit with you before, but I do think it's a little bit concerning, this whole idea, as I look at it, of a committee hiring somebody that ultimately could have authority over them. I'm a big believer in follow human nature, and human nature would tell you if you're on a committee, then you want to get somebody that will be will serve your cause, whatever your cause is. So I do think that's a little concerning as to whether or not you'd go for the strongest candidate versus the person that you think you could work best with inside the building.
A lot of coaches have been fired in the NFL so far in just even the last few weeks. Curious how other teams are doing it. Is this unusual to have an internal committee doing this? How are other job vacancies filled?
Good question, the right question. So the question is your general manager still there? So if Rick Spielman, for example, had not been fired, then he would be leading the charge to get a new coach. In Oakland, they've got the same thing. They have an interim head coach, and they fired the general manager. Of course, Gruden got fired during the year, so they'd have the same issue over there. Al Davis's son might run that. But every system is different, because if the general manager is there, which it is in most cases, New York Giants don't either because Gettleman retired. You then turn it over to the general manager to find the coach. So the Vikings are a little bit unique in A, they don't have a general manager leading the search because they need a general manager, and B, they've decided to do it by committee as opposed to one person. Like Mark Wolf is technically the president and owner of the Wolves. Of the Vikings. He could take this and run with it. Rob Brzezinski, though, is the guy that's kind of the point man on this committee. He's a trusted employee that has scored well with them over the years, been there for a long time, and has won a lot of credibility with them. So he'd probably be the leader of this committee, along with Andrew Miller, who is the COO. But he just came in from Toronto, you know, a couple years ago to replace Kevin Warren, so he hasn't really dipped in the NFL for a long period of time, but those two would have the most power.
Mm-hmm. It is coming up on 8:46. We're talking to Maxie about the Vikings GM and coach search. As a longtime fan, as someone who grew up here, do you have a favorite or who you'd like to see in this position, considering what this team needs right now?
It's really hard because, if you look at the general manager, the profile of the general managers that they're looking at, none of them jump off the page. None of them are all, it's not that they won't be, but none of them are all that impressive in terms of what they've done. Now, some of that, they're just the victim of their own age and experience, and it's not their fault, but they don't overwhelm you in terms of what you see. So you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle. You're trying to be smarter than everybody else and get the right person that can be here for, you know, Rick Spielman was here since 2006 as an example. On the coaching side of it, I don't know a lot about Todd Bowles down there in Tampa. I think he's interesting to talk to. I thought Dan Quinn would be a good fit, but I know they won't go with him because he'll remind them of Zimmer some with that old school approach. Maybe a little bit with Doug Peterson as well, who was here a couple years ago and won the Super Bowl with Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But I think he reminds them of, you know, kind of that older coach, and I think that they want to go young, and it's really hard for me to figure out of these young coaches, you know, who's ready to take the reins and run a whole program. Really a difficult job, you know, being an NFL coach, and you got to serve a lot of different masters and be the master. And, you know, where Mike Zimmer fell short probably was he was so defensive minded and at times maybe more critical of the offense than the offensive players would have liked. And so you felt like it was two teams sometimes, and you can't be that. And that's a difficult thing for a lot of guys because they're either an offensive or defensive coordinator.
Okay. Maxie, thank you so much. Have a really good day.
You too. Stay warm.
Yes, exactly. Hey, Wolves pregame at 6 tonight. Wolves will be at Atlanta, 6:30 p.m. tip-off here on WCCO Radio. And we have a Wolves Wednesday winner. Good morning, Kristen.
Hi. Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Are you a big Wolves fan? Who's your favorite player?
Probably Kat.
Of course, yes. So you are the winner of tickets, lower level tickets for the January 30th game against the Utah Jazz. Congratulations. Who are you going to take?
Thank you. My son. My son loves the Wolves.
Oh, that's great. Well, you and your son have a great mom-son night at the Wolves. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Vanita.
Good deal. We'll be back with weather and traffic.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.